Has your Bible turned to Hebrews 13? Stand with your Bibles open to Hebrews 13. And go down with me to verse number 8. A lot of preaching from Hebrews 13:1 down to 8. But I'm going to start at 8 and go down to 16. I sense something here. I've been reading these verses. I hope I can communicate them the way it came to me, okay? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. These are wonderful, wonderful passages of Scripture. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I love this first verse. In these changing times, all this tumultuous activity going on in our world, I'm glad I can read verse 8 and say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. This verse right here just grabbed a hold of me, jerked me around. I'm still eating off of it, and it's wonderful. We have an altar. Let me say it again. We have an altar. Whereof they had no right to eat which served the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. Whew. But we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Our Father, Lord, I pray this morning that you touch your word. I come again, depending on your Holy Ghost. Depending on the power of God to be on me one more time. And I pray, God, I'll encourage somebody with the word today. And people get saved and people get help. But most of all, when we walk out of here, we'll be so thankful for your name. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. For you that study the word of God, and that there's many of you are Bible students, to accurately interpret Scripture, you've got to really know the context of what's going on. Somebody say amen. Because there's a lot of people preach stuff completely out of context with the Scripture. And if you're going to understand the book of Hebrews, you've got to look at it from the Jewish perspective, from the Hebrew perspective. If you don't, you're not going to get a proper interpretation. Somebody say amen right there. Let me say this to you. Some people call it foolishness that we're doing this morning. But I tell you, I call it grace. Some people say what we're doing is not enough. But I say it's sufficient. Some people say you are in easy believism. No, I don't believe easy believism. I just believe what he done at Calvary is enough. It's sufficient. In this passage of Scripture, and I want you to notice there was a tug of war happening. There was a tug of war. And here's what was happening. They had a tug, Brother Jared. There was a bunch of Judaizers come in trying to bewitch them, trying to get them to go back to Judaism. And this group of people were in a tug of war. You said, what was the tug of war? It was between two systems. By the way, listen to me. There's always been two systems. From the garden till now, they've been two systems. It's either by works or grace. Works or grace. Works or grace. And I want you to know this morning, if you are trying to get to heaven on your works, if you're depending on the old system, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be upset most of the time because there's no fulfilling there in the old system. It says to do and live. But if you get saved, it means to live and do. I work not to be saved, but I work because I am saved. You say, well, you talk about these systems. I'm talking about one that is less and one that is best. I'm talking about one that is full of shadows and one that is full of substance. I'm talking about one that is full of rituals and one that is full of reality. I'm talking about one that has pictures and one that has a person. Somebody help me. One that's focusing on tradition and one that's focusing on truth. One that's focusing on good and one that's focusing on grace. One that's focusing on works and the others are focusing on the work of Christ. What had happened here in this church, as many people joined the church and they were being attacked by the Judaizers. And I'll tell you what they had done. Their family had rejected them. Their friends had disowned them. Their foes were hounding them. And they fell alone. By the way, friend, if you believe it the way we believe it this morning, it is lonely. Because what we have this morning is not dependent on no system. Somebody help me. It's dependent on a person. It's not dependent on what I do, but it's dependent on His finished work. Somebody help me preach. And these folks were being abused and they were all alone. And could you imagine them not being able to go to Thanksgiving dinner because their family said, you can't come? Could you imagine every time the family came, they were mocked for the choice? But I want to tell you this morning, if you've chose Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, you made the best choice you'll ever make. How many believe this morning He's the best thing that ever happened to you this morning? How many believe this morning that He's wonderful? If you're saved this morning, you made the right choice. These Jewish folks was wanting temple sacrifices and they worshiped the golden altar and they worshiped the brazen altar and they worshiped the Ark of the Covenant where the two cherubims were over and had a mercy seat. That's where their worship is. Their worship was surrounded by meats and sacrifices and burnt offerings. Are y'all with me? It's sad to say this morning, they still a bunch of people hung up on that kind of junk. Works. They either say they're saved by grace and kept by works. I don't understand that mentality. I'm saved by grace and I'm kept by works. I'm saved by grace and I'm kept by grace. Y'all with me? Amen. But some of these Jews still were hung up on the meats and hung up on doing things like that. And they felt like doing a good deed outside would help them on the inside. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks today, they may not be doing the legalism, but they try baptism, they try good works, they try to turn over a new leaf, they try church membership. Brother Jared, it's not going to work. It's empty. It's hollow. There's not much to it. Somebody help me preach right there. But I'm thankful for the one that went to Calvary's cross. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful for a home. I'm thankful for a family. I'm thankful for children. But I want you to know something. I'm glad I'm not in the old system. I'm glad I'm in the new. I'm glad I'm not looking at pictures. I'm looking at a person. Whew. Then he makes a statement here. I don't even know what my text is going to be. Y'all can just pick one. He makes a statement here. He said, we have an altar. And ladies and gentlemen, now don't y'all fleece me here. He was saying, that brazen altar, we don't worship there anymore. That golden altar, that mercy seat, We don't worship there anymore. Because we have an altar. And some of you might say, is it that wooden altar y'all have? I don't want to bust your bubble. Oh, I believe in it. It's where you can come and meet Christ. And I don't think enough people try to go and do it. But that altar is not this wooden altar. Boy, it's quiet in here somewhere. You said, who is that altar? That altar is Jesus Christ. You used to serve that other one. You used to offer meats on the other one. But I want you to tell you who your altar is. That is the Lord Jesus. This morning, you can come down front to our altar and meet Him. But I want to tell you who your altar will be this morning. Not that piece of wood. It'll be Jesus Christ. That's why if you're out in your car, you can make an altar out of it. If you're at home, you can make an altar. Somebody help me preach. I'm about to get loose. I want to tell you, you said, well, preacher, you mean to tell me the altar is Jesus? Hey, He's the one, He's the real substance. Whew. Lord have mercy. I'm, you know what, preacher? The longer I preach, the more I introduce. Somebody help me. Let me give you four things and I'll be done. Look at verse number 10. I want to, first of all, point you back to the previous system. Verse number 10, here's what he said. Verse number 9 and 10, well, no, 10 and 11, excuse me. We have an altar where they had no right to eat which served the tabernacle. Hold on. Listen to me. Look at me carefully. You cannot come and eat of Christ if you're eating of works. You have no way to God except through Jesus. Somebody help me right here. You said, Preacher Smith, you mean you're eliminating all those works? That you mean to tell me being a good person, me trying to survive personally, that's not enough. I want you to look at the previous system. He said, you can't eat of it. You can't feed off of Christ if you're feeding off of that. Look what it says. For the bodies of those beasts involved a dead subject. You know what they did the whole Old Testament? They killed dead subjects. By the way, preacher, they had to do it every day and once every year at the great day of atonement. But the Bible said those offerings never put away sin. Somebody help me right there. And then it was a devoted service. That priest went behind the veil, devoted his life to that. By the way, there's a lot of people today that are in churches today that have devoted their whole life to something false. You said, Preacher Smith, you telling me, hey, there's one religion that's a religion of the world. It ain't nothing but built on works. Somebody help me. The universal religion. You know what I'm talking about. The one that you, at 8 days old, you confirm your kids. The one that you had to take a sacrament to be saved. I'm glad I don't have to take bread to be saved. I'm eating off the bread of life this morning. It talks about the distant sacrifices. And the designated site. You know what they did? They'd offer that sacrifice. Then they would go out of the camp and they would burn that sacrifice outside the camp. Let me tell you this. How many agree with me? That's futile. Depending on that every day. Depending on that, there's people today that don't believe you're saved forever. There's people today that don't believe in salvation by grace. And every day they're living from the previous system. Every day they're hoping so and maybe so and might so and think so. But I'm telling you, not only the previous system, but secondly, I see the precious Savior. Whoa, glory. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore? Wherefore what? Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. You said, what are you saying, preacher? He was a perfect substitute. Now I know we're getting close to Christmas. You hear me out. He was born of a virgin. And don't be telling me that's the sign was a good woman. The sign was a virgin. And you said, Preacher Smith, the virgin birth is not important. Ladies and gentlemen, the virgin birth means everything. Because what the virgin birth says is, the blood of Jesus was not the blood of man. The blood of Jesus was the blood of God. He was the perfect man. He was the God man. He was 100% God and 100% man. And he had real glory. And he was a perfect substitute that offered a pure substance. His blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'll be glad you're washed in the blood. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood. Then notice also that it was a painful suffering. He suffered without the gate. He didn't go in town and suffer. By the way, when we go to Jerusalem, you know I'm like this. I'll take them on the Via Della Rosa, but I only go so far on the Via Della Rosa. I don't take them to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Because he didn't die there. And he wasn't raised there. Because my Bible said he died without the gate. He wasn't in the town. He was outside the town. By the way, if you ever drive into Jerusalem and you're in a car and you go by a bus stop, all you got to do is look up above the bus stop. There's a skull up there. There's a rock foundation with a skull there. And right nearby is a garden that has a tomb there. You said, preacher, was that where it was at? That's where it was at. Outside the gate. He died for you outside. Somebody, and he suffered. He bore your sin. We ought to be the most thankful people. We don't have to die because he died for us. Hallelujah. It was a particular spot outside the gate. Amen. Not in town. No. They took him out of the gate. But then, number three, I want you to know something else. Verse 13. Y'all still with me? I see a practical separation. Look at verse 13. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing what? His reproach. Whew. Man. These Jews knew what it meant to be outside the gate. He had to abandon corruption, you had to get outside the gate. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? You want to worship God this morning? By the way, my message is about worshiping and being thankful for His name. You want to worship God? You got to abandon corruption. By the way, I still believe in old time separation. Amen. Somebody help me. You know what we want? We want to be in a religion without any persecution, without any opposition. But I want to tell you what, if you're falling grace this morning, you're full of opposition. Amen. It was bearing the approach of Christ. How many believe they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution? You know the biggest attack I've had since I've been here at Tennessee Valley Baptist Church? It's been because of grace. I remember in my early days. Boy, I'm going to get in trouble here, Jerry. Might as well. I've done good right up to now, haven't I? No trouble, no controversy. Very sweet. But I'm getting off right now. There's a certain group of religionists in this community that hate me. They hate me. Because, see, they're a religion that believes in baptismal regeneration. Yeah, you know who they are. I'll just tell you, Church of Christ. You say, you shouldn't name names. Why not? Jesus did. I'm just telling you a story. I was preaching about this. About the grace of God. Salvation without works. Salvation without baptism. By the way, the full feet didn't get baptized. And I got a letter one day from one of those fellers. Man, he wrote me a letter. It was that long. He said, read Acts 2:38. Read Acts 2:38. Well, I read Acts 2:38. And I ain't one that takes one scripture. I wrote it back. I said, read Ephesians 2:8-9. Read. And I read him about 35 verses on grace. Then I explained to him, he's Acts 2:38. And you know what that dude done? This was back when I was young. He came down to our activity building and called me out on the street. Well, he had never met me before. And that's back when I was a healthy boy of about 400 pounds. And I said, well, okay. I walked out the door and I said, you know, back then, I'm a real sweet, passive guy now. Back then, though, I was a little bit mean. I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. I walked out. I ain't been saved that long. I walked out there and I said, you want me? Somebody said, you want to whip me? And he looked up at me. He said, no, I don't think so. I said, sir, put away your foolishness. You're still worshiping the old system. All you're doing is hanging on some work, some something. I am depending on the work of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, every one of you, if you accept grace like we are preaching here at this church, you will get approached. Everybody around ain't going to accept you. Somebody help me preach right there. You cannot serve God without reproach. Now, by the way, they accepted the contempt, bearing the reproach. If you step away from religion for Christ, by the way, all this war that's going on in the world, all this Muslims extremism, these people that will fly a plane in the name of religion into buildings and drive a truck down the street to kill multiple people, that's not what I'm serving this morning. I'm serving a salvation that's full and free, and it's a gift of God. And if, hey, we will be called infidels, and we will be called everything in the book, but I'm glad it's still by the grace of God this morning. Whew. Y'all still with me? Then I see an anticipated city. Well, glory. Look what he said in verse 14. For here we had no continuing city. What do you think those Jews thought of that? Hey, boys, you're worshiping down there in Jerusalem. That's everything to you. But we don't have a continuing city. But we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I've been thinking lately on this Thanksgiving weekend of all the loved ones that we've had go on to that other city. I'm kind of homesick. I'm looking for that city. Well, I'm going to have, you remember when you used to have Thanksgiving with mom and dad, have Thanksgiving with your grandpa and grandma, and they're now gone. And the world says, because of what we believe, there's no hope. But I want you to know this morning, there is hope. We got a heaven. We got a place where, woo!
Thank the Lord.
Somebody said to me the other day, preacher, you don't preach enough on heaven. I'm preaching it right now. You know, Baptists are kind of weird. They all talk about heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. I want to tell you what, friend, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody help me right here. I'm like, Brother Jeff, we're not people of no hope. This is not all it is. Thank God this is not all it is. We've got a city. We got a place. Somebody ought to get on your mule and start shouting. You know what? It was great him saved me from sin, delivered me from heartache, delivered me from burdens. But I never could hardly understand going up there and making a city for me. And I got a mansion. I know you that use your NIV only got a room, but I got a mansion. That sounds like a little apartment. Therefore, in my Father's house, we have many rooms. Where do you get that at? No, therefore, in my Father's house, we have many mansions. You can't even, I have not seen nor ever heard. You can't even imagine what God, we ought to be the most thankful people in the world. We got the best life to live in. We got heaven to go to.
Amen.
I'm done. Number four, I'm done. Those who are getting baptized, be sure at the invitation. You come on. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Are y'all there? Don't leave me. by Him. By Him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to what? His name. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Lastly, I see a praiseful sacrifice. The Bible said, I beseech you, brother, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Verse 15 talks about a genuine purpose. You say, who you worship? Am I worshiping the old system? No, 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 no. I'm worshiping my person this morning. Somebody say amen. My hopes, my dreams, everything rises and falls on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see generated praise. Continually thanking. By the way, I know we have Thanksgiving. And it's a wonderful date. But can I tell you, how many agree with me? Every day ought to be Thanksgiving with a Christian. I just was thinking about where I used to be. Can I ask you people, where were you when you lost? What kind of life did you have? Dead end. Hell bound. Where were you folks when you was lost? Yet Jesus came where I was. Grace saved me by His grace. And yes, I'm going to praise Him. And I may make some of you nervous. I'm going to shout and I'm going to do it with my lips. Some of you say, well, preacher Smith, I know I'm one of them people. I'm a quiet kind of somebody. Well, then take verse 15 out. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Like this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am thankful. You say, well, I do that in my heart. Why won't you let your lips do it once in a while? These people have been shouting and praising, and some of you look like a wooden Indian's back. Hello, get in on it. It'll help you. It's like measles. It'll break out all over you. Help me. We ought to be thankful. Then a grateful proclamation. My lips giving thanks. And a giving possession. Ooh, 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 ooh. Look at verse 16. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Oh, goodness. That's a giving possessions. Do good and communicate. Give your possessions. Hello. Somebody asked me, said, Preacher Smith, do you give your tithe? Oh, yeah. I wish I could. Listen, I don't only give my tithe. I owe my tithe. I give my offerings. Why? And not just my time, my life. Everything I got, it's His. I'm thankful. Then I see a good performance. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. I drove on the lot. Brian, Angie, I drove on the lot yesterday. And I ain't never seen so many cars on the church lot in my life. That place was full. You said, what was going on? Tell you about the Baptist church. Some good communication. Some giving. We had folks came and worked yesterday that's not even members of our church came down and volunteered. They may be here today. I don't know if they are or not. But if you're here, thank you. Somebody help me preach a little bit here. A good performance. When you leave this building, hey, listen, thank God for your worship here. But this is just three times a week. Out there is what's needed. Out there we need. That's our mission field out there. I still believe in giving out tracts. By the way, somebody asked me, why are there so many churches going contemporary and going away from us? I'll tell you why. They're too lazy to go out the street and knock on a door. They've got away from old-timey religion. Savings, getting souls saved don't mean anything to them anymore. Somebody help me preach right here. Thank God, I'm thankful. By the way, since I'm so thankful, I want to tell the whole world what I got. Y'all still with me? Stay with me. Then I see a guaranteed pleasure. Look at the last part of verse 16. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What are you saying, preach? I'm saying you communicate and do good. Get up here. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Tell all you. You two get up here. Get up here. Get up here. I want to tell you three boys from your pastor, I'm well pleased with you. And by the way, I hope that means something to you. But can I say something to you? Yet not near as much as God is. All you're doing for God, all y'all people's doing for God, y'all can be seated. I'm going down here. All we do for God, all I want from Him is one thing, His pleasure. And when I get to heaven, here's all I want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I'll tell you what's wrong with Christianity today. There's too many churches that have an agenda that's outside of Jesus. Listen, my agenda is nothing but getting people saved, people's lives changed. If you're here this morning, you've been practicing in the old system. You think you're a pretty good person, but you've never been saved. You're on your way to hopelessness. But there is a precious Savior. And if you come this morning, trust Him. He'll save you. He'll change you. And then you'll want to thank Him. And you want to praise Him. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God this morning. No one looking around. I wonder how many today say, preacher's men. If I die today, I know that I'm not dependent on any works. I'm not dependent on anything I ever done. I'm depending only on Christ. And I know that I know I'm saved. Raise your hand high. Hold them up high. Thank you. How many right now say, preacher Smith, I couldn't raise my hand. Maybe you've been religious and been in some church and you've never really got saved. Or maybe you've never really been saved. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ done away with the old to fulfill it all and died on Calvary. Wonder how many that can't raise your hand this morning. Say right now, preach, I want to go to heaven. I want to know I'm going. I want that salvation and praise that you have in your heart this morning in my life. How many slip up your hand and say, pray for me? Pray for me. I've never been saved. Never actually ever trusted Christ. And maybe you're religious and you've been in a work church and you've been saved and lost and saved and lost. And you don't even know if you're saved. I wonder how many slip up your hand and say, preacher, I don't even know for sure I'm saved. I have been in church, but I'm not sure I'm saved. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. God bless that hand. Somebody else? I see that hand, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? Preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I want to make sure. I'm tired of dead religion. I'm tired of stuff that don't fulfill me. I want to be a Christian. Somebody else? I wonder how many here say, preacher Smith, I'm not thankful enough. I'm kind of ashamed of myself. I don't communicate it enough. I should be more thankful God has done so much. How many of you this morning, you know you love God, but you're just not as thankful you ought to be? Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Yes. Those folks that raised your hand said you don't know for sure you're saved. Or you've never been saved. Most likely if you don't know for sure you're saved, you're not saved. And I want you to come forward right now. You raise your hand. I want you to get it right. Make sure you get God in you this morning. Let's stand. I'm going to pray specifically for you that raise your hand. Not sure you're saved. Not saved. I'm going to pray you'll come. Don't let anything stand behind you. If I was you, I'd get out of my seat this morning and come up and get it right. Father, these dear folks that raise their hand this morning, I want to pray for them. that dear man, that young person. I want to pray for them. God, I pray this morning that they'll find fullness and joy in Jesus. Not religion, not works, but Jesus. And God, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You that raise your hand, do the best thing you ever done. Slip out of your seat right now and come and pray.
I still
come on.
Rest. There's mercy.
Just slip out. I know you want to. Don't fight it. If you're not sure, come on. Best thing ever had to you is to know for sure.
I trust.
Amen.
In His word.
Yes.
Only trust.
Oh, there's some of you. You're stuck close. Why don't you just say, I'm tired of that old dead stuff that I don't even know anything about. And I don't have no more surety today I did when I joined that junk. I want to know I'm saved. Come on.
He will save you.
Amen.
He will save you.
Amen.
He will
save you. Praise the Lord.